Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a September 13, 2009 segment from the Kentucky Water Fuel Museum. With us today is a very special guest, namely Sean Drazen, who is involved with SafeHHO.com. Sean, are you with us?
I am.
Well, I'd like to welcome you to the program.
Thank you.
Now, you and I have only had brief acquaintance via telephone a few minutes ago, but yours is a very interesting and exciting story, and so I feel like it's very important for people to get this information as fresh as possible. You are involved with SafeHHO.com. Is that the name of the company?
Actually, the name of the company is Hydrogen Assist Development, and our website is SafeHHO.com.
Okay. And what is your position with the company?
I am primary owner.
Primary owner, okay. And the company is located in Michigan?
Correct, just north of Toledo, just south of Detroit.
Okay. Now, I understand that you guys have been hanging back for a while and not bringing a product to market because you wanted to make sure you were introducing something that was truly worthy of your efforts. Now you have introduced a product, and the way I found out about your company was a YouTube video, I believe, of renowned skeptic Eric Krieg expressing astonishment at a miles per gallon test that was done with one of your units installed on a vehicle.
Yeah, you know, we've been doing this for quite a while, and we weren't going to go public even for another 6 months, probably from today. But we saw the Dateline show, and it upset me because we know the technology is valid. We also know that there are a lot of alternate technologies or designs that are just not working, so it brings a lot of skepticism in. To bring a product to market, you have to be sincere in what it can do, and you just can't build something and sell it and say it works. You have to do a lot of testing and a lot of be very honest about your testing, and that's what we've been doing. And we've been working out the bugs on our system, and we had a lot of them. And once we got it to where we wanted it, then we wanted to really test it in the real world. But when the Dateline show came about, I felt that we had to kind of step up. We knew we had a phenomenal product, but I just didn't want the whole HHO, the movement to move down, especially with fuel cells being taken off the agenda for the government. We just wanted to bring something out and bring some notoriety to the project because it is a valid setup if done the right way with the right technology.
Okay, so the implication here is that the effort of Dutchman and Dennis Lee bringing out the HAFC, the Hydrogen Assist Fuel Cell, was premature because they hadn't been able to prove that it works on all vehicles, and so it created sort of a disaster, huh?
From what I understand, they really didn't get any results. And how can you, and you're claiming 80 miles a gallon. Well, I'm not seeing 80-mile-a-gallon cars. That's just very unrealistic. What we look at is we try to take a car and take it to the next level. If it's a compact, we want to get subcompact miles. If it's subcompact, we want to get hybrid miles. That's a realistic goal, 20 to 40% increase. You know, some cars you can get 50, 60%, but that's not all the time realistic. So you have to keep moving your boundaries. We know we're still far away from getting the huge numbers, but we know we're getting there. But you have to bring it to the public in a realistic manner. If you don't, you take away all your credibility. You know, it's snake oil and smoke and mirrors, and that's not going to get the world to change. That's going to get people to step back and say, I don't want to deal with this because you're not being honest with me. And
now, what's most impressive – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What's most impressive about your numbers is that you're not doing anything to tweak the modern car's sensors and computer that controls fuel injection.
Well, a lot of it has to do with – how we go about it. There has been almost like a science fair project and a contest with the HHO community of trying to get liters per minute and trying to get the best numbers, but those do not always relate to real-world results. And we found early on that to make a device that gets a large amount of liters per minute oftentimes burns a lot of water, creates a lot of ill effects, throws the O2, which means you have to lean the car, and this is domino effect that works against you. So you have to build a unit that's going to optimize your fuel efficiency by burning all the fuel, lean the car in a direct manner without throwing off the sensors, and that's really an art form. It's taken us a lot of time, with a lot of effort from a lot of different engineers and qualified individuals who have worked in this project to make this happen. It's very scientific in a sense, yet very simplistic when you kind of step back and look at it. And that's kind of where things fall to the wayside. I often get questions from around the world, how many liters per minute do you push? And when I tell them, they're like, well, that's not good enough. But the fact is that we have a Z06 Corvette. It's a 505 horsepower car. And with under 2 liters a minute, we've increased the efficiency by 60%. And this car with no electronics, just straight on units. And this car has been reviewed by Mike Yeager, who owns Mid-America Motor Works, the largest Corvette aftermarket facility in the country, and validated it. So, you know, we know what we're doing, and we also know that we're going to stick to our guns of what's right and what's wrong, and hopefully people will start seeing the truth as it emerges, like with Eric Krieg, you know, putting it out there in front of people.
Okay, let's talk about Eric Krieg then. He was featured on the Dateline NBC segment back a year ago or earlier this year that was lambasting Dutchman and Dennis Lee for having ripped people off with a hydrogen booster. And Mr. Krieg came on saying that primarily, you know, bad-mouthing Dennis Lee, but basically also implicating the entire HHO or hydrogen booster industry as being a scam or ripoff, as if no results could ever result from this kind of boosting.
Right.
Now, how is it that you got in touch with him?
I looked him up. Google's a great tool. And I found his number, did a little research, called him on the phone, and just presented my case to him and said, I'd love to meet you. He met me with a lot of skepticism and said, you know, I've had a lot of people call me and want to talk to me and see me. And if you show up, I'll be greatly impressed because it just doesn't happen. So we played a little email tag back and forth and phone tag, and we talked a little bit here and there. And I finally got to a point where I was ready to come out and see him just on my schedule. And we had a car we had gotten tremendous miles on. And
what kind of car was that?
It was a Toyota Scion. And the miles were pretty extraordinary. I don't really want to say the numbers because it's really it's almost unrealistic. We put far too big of a system on there to be reasonable for any average consumer, but we wanted to push it as far as we could. And we got up in the 70s. And
what was the normal mileage for that car?
Like 35, 36. And that car was being leaned. I will be honest, that car had previously came to us with a mason jar on it, and it had an FE built in, and we kept the FE on due to the owner's request. And we got tremendous mileage of that car, but I didn't want to take that because I thought if that was shown to the world, that would be a very unrealistic mark to hit, because that's just not something you're going to hit on every car. It's just not going
right.
to happen.
Yes.
So these big claims of 180 miles a gallon, it's just not going to happen. And people have to come to terms with that. That's just, you might get the freak car that just goes crazy, but it's one in a million. So we redesigned the car to come down, and when we redesigned it, we had a time frame, and we couldn't get the numbers I wanted, so I wasn't confident bringing the car there. I wanted to bring it down to like a 40% number, and I just couldn't hit the mark. So I pulled out. I said, I'll come next week with another car that we have thousands of miles of data on. Right now I just don't feel it. My numbers are too inconsistent with this different design I put on this car. So I pulled out. So he was nice about it, very, very kind, and just said, well, I'm going to be here at this time in Cincinnati, and if you want to show up, I'd be more than happy to see you. So I went. And we went down with a 2001 Buick Century. The car... the sticker in the car says like 26 on the window sticker. The reality of it is that car will pull 22 on the highway on a test, and you can baseline it all day long. You're going to get 22, 22, 22. So we baselined it, and then we put hydrogen on it, and we assist our hydrogen assist product. We drove it. We were getting mid-30s. We went down there to see him. On the trip down to Cincinnati, we pulled like 33 and a half, and I'm a big guy. I had my chemist with me, air full blast, going 75 all the way down, pulled mid-30s. We got to see Eric, and Eric basically was, I think, a little shocked we showed up, and he started laying out this test for him, and I said, listen, here's the keys, look over the car, drive it any way you want, do anything you want to it, I'm just going to sit back and let you do your thing. So he did. And the first test we went out, and he had the air going, and he went about 65, and we have 3 men in the car at this point. And I'm a big guy, so that's pretty much 4 men in the car, to be very honest with you. And we got 29 on a short run. Now, short runs are inconsistent because we noticed that pumps, when you fill them up, that they'll stop it. The same pump will never stop. It'll never stop at the same point. So you have to have a little bit of variance. So it could have been 29, it could have been 30. I don't really judge short runs as being highly accurate, but close to accurate. So I suggested that we do a long run up to about 100 miles or so. And we got caught in traffic. He turned around, went here, went there, came back, pulled 37. But he was only going about 52, 55 miles an hour. And he was a little perplexed. So I said, well, based on the landscape, based on the speed you went, you're right within my numbers that I gave you when I came here. And we're running with no air, plus we have extra weight in the car. So it makes sense. Everything kind of averaged out. So we opened the hood. We disconnected everything. We disconnected electrical, disconnected the gas line in, plugged it up, and we drove the car. And he drove the car. And we drove it again, baselined it for 30, 40 miles, and he pulled 22. I said, well, realistically, based on it was raining, I would probably say you probably got 24, 25 because you were going pretty slow. And I was honest with him. So he stood back and really looked at me and just started speaking to me freely. He was very disoriented at first because he didn't know what to think. But in his dealings with other skeptics, he's found that most people try to manipulate the testing field. And I let him do everything. I never touched the car without his permission. I did it in front of him. I never touched the gas pump. I let him have complete control of the car from start to finish. Since then, Eric has taken a generator home with him, put on his Hyundai, which he drives all the time to work at a great distance, and he's seen a marked improvement in his Hyundai. And Eric's a believer now. He's a complete believer of what we're doing.
Isn't that something?
He's still a skeptic, don't get me wrong, and I'm a skeptic, because I'll be honest with you, I'll say it to the world, there are people out there that are reducing units that just don't work, or they're selling them and claiming they do. And I'll say that to anybody, because unfortunately, stainless steel is flawed in design. It breaks down, corrosion, it's just, there's electrical resistance issues that happen in the designs, it just doesn't work. I think it was a great first step. But I think as a community, we need to move forward into other sort of technologies that are going to reduce. Another thing, too, is, you know, they call us Brown's gas, correct? But ours produce no corrosion. The water stays perfectly clear. I don't care if it's a week or a year later, the water is perfectly clear. And that's important that we're not pushing corrosion into the engine. And there's no maintenance. So it's very different just from start to finish.
Now, how do you explain the difference in the water staying clear?
Because we're not actually breaking down the metal. We're using a titanium substrate. Now, if you're going to have anything come off of titanium, it's going to be a little bit of a tin, but the titanium is covered with a mixed metal oxide coating. This coating has been around since the 50s. It's patented in every country. I'm not going to disclose who our distributor is, but we have a contract with them to maintain this for RHHO projects. And what it is it's using clean water projects, dechlorinization, desalinization. It's used for membrane separation of hydrogen and oxygen. It's been around for a long time, and it's been proven. But any good scientist or engineer will tell you that a lot of things that we use today have already been invented for another cause. You just have to find the current application that it places into.
Right.
And this has been around for a long time, and just HHO is very popular. And it got brought to the forefront by a chemical engineer who had worked with it in the past, and I saw the opportunity, understood the what it was about, and went after it and solidified it for my company's use. And ever since, we've been using it to better the hydrogen assist product for the world.
Well, that's excellent. And I have to commend you, too, for keeping your prices within a reasonable range. I mean, I went to your website. I looked at the price list for your limited inventory. You only have, what, about 20 products you're offering or less?
Right.
And I couldn't believe it. I mean,
Well, you know, Rome was built in the day. You know, I'm sorry, but I had to say this, is that I've been a business owner most of my life, and I'll tell you is that you have to respect the product, and you have to put it out there. If you put the product out there, no, it's going to sell. If it's the right price and the right product, you can't get rich off of one product, one item. So you have to make it as reasonable as possible. I brought it down as far as I can. If I can find a better distributor to bring the price down lower, I'll always do it. I want to get it out there. It's not get rich quick with me, with our company.
Yeah.
No
well,
one works for my company that wants to do that.
Yeah, and the price is going to keep a lot of people from getting into this technology if it's too high. And so I have to commend anyone who's offering a product that works at a reasonable price, because that's going to cause more people to want to go ahead and
I thank you
for people who've been listening to the propaganda against the technology, it really is taking a risk for them to buy any device, even one with Eric Krieg endorsing it. They're still skeptical. There's Popular Mechanics speaking against the technology, various other government agencies saying it doesn't work. So people are taking a chance when they buy anybody's product, but I think it's going to be easier for them to do that when they see that the prices are reasonable.
Well, I will tell you this, is that for anybody listening, I will basically put my money where my mouth is. Anybody who wants to test our product, who thinks who is a proponent of it being invalid, we will work out a test form with them to prove the validity of the product. We want that to be out there. Anybody governmental or a large skeptic who wants to say it doesn't work, Popular Mechanics, we will come to you in the continental United States and prove to you that our system is valid. That's how much we believe in it.
Well, that's great. That's very good. And now you mentioned not only the material that you're using, but also the number of plates you're using is rather unusual. Most of these cells that people are offering have multiple plates.
Yeah, and any good electrical engineer would tell you that with electrical resistance, that's flawed by design. We use three plates in our units. We use a negative, a positive, and a free. And basically, the plates have a 20 times per square inch expanded conductivity. So every square inch of our plating system is like 20 square inches of stainless. So it enables us to use a very small amount of plates to create a nice amount of gas and with a nominal amount of amperage. So you're kind of getting in the sweet spot, if I guess to break it down the easiest way of saying it. You're kind of getting to the most basic point of, you know, two rods, you know, producing electrolysis is the old, you know, a lot of the pictures that you'll see to represent electrolysis. Two rods, one negative, one positive. We're kind of getting to that simplest point. And if you took two pieces of stainless and the size that we use, you would get enough gas barely to make any sort of even explosion. It wouldn't hardly even light up. It would barely even bubble. But with ours, it almost relates to units that you see with 30, 40 plates. So it's very exciting that we can do that. We can make a very small unit. Our small units are only 5 1/4 inches long by 2 by 2. And our large units around our big V8s are only 8 3/4 inches long by 2 by 2. So it opens up a whole new world of even installation and ability to put them on cars, because cars today are so compact and so tight that these big bulky systems can be installed in your vehicle.
Yeah, well, that is impressive, that the limited size that you've managed to package this thing in. Now, what about something for a big rig? Have you devised a
way to... Actually, we've had the luck to... We've sold them in a lot of countries around the world, and one country that we're working with is Australia, and we're working with a diesel facility, the repairs in Australia, and by Brisbane, and they are getting 20 to 30% results on their 4.6 liters. We're doing a large unit, three plates, 4.6. They're getting 20 to 23% results, and we just sent down some double six-plate units for the, because diesel is a little bit different animal than gas, and there's a little, we learned through our tests that it needs a little different sort of production and result production to work effectively, and we're getting in the 30% range with the 14 to 16 liter diesels down there. So it's a marked improvement, and for the average trucking fleet, even 10% would be a vast amount of savings. So hopefully with this data, we can, you know, maybe go to some larger companies in the continental United States and convince them to attempt to try these products and start, you know, diminishing our use of foreign oil and our dependency on it, and clean up the environment a little bit.
Yeah. Now, what are you using as your electrolyte? Is it KOH?
At this point, KOH seems to be the best, and we do try different things, but as we have a chemical engineer and a chemist on our team, we're always trying different compounds to see what's going to work in electrolytes. But at this time, to be very honest with you, KOH seems to be our best bet.
Yeah, I noticed you have a 8-ounce container of KOH on your site for $4.99, which, you know, that's reasonable.
I mean, you can buy it in bulk for a lot cheaper, to be honest with you.
But I've seen people selling little packets of about an ounce for the same price. So
yeah, I'm not trying to be a KOH dealer, to be honest with you. I just put it on there as a need. I don't really put it on there as a want to sell.
Right, exactly. But it's just that's the kind of thing that impresses me when I see someone selling a flashback arrester for, I think you have one on there for $10 or something.
Well, I'm gonna tell anybody who asks me, I'm not trying to, you know, hit the lottery first time around. I'm in this for the long haul, and I hope that through my biggest goal, like I told you earlier, is to come across some R&D money, because I think that I have a fantastic team that has already taken this to the next level. And we're hoping to maybe get some grant money or some privately funded R&D money so we can really move the project forward, because our main goal is to better the world. Believe it or not, when I have someone come work for me, I ask them this question. If you had to leave for a year and not see your family, and for that 1 year you were gone, when you came back, you were guaranteed that our work here would solidify a change in the world forever, would you leave? And if the answer is no, then you're not working for me. And the answer has to be yes. You have to sacrifice some of yourself to make the world a better place. And it may sound idealistic or gooey, but I'll be honest with you, most people are not willing these days to make that sacrifice. And I am. And I have sacrificed a lot of my personal time and effort and money for this project, hoping that people would, you know, come around, and God willing, they have. You know, I've been very blessed with people taking me seriously and not putting me off in that field of the Dennis Lees, you know, or the water for gas trio. That's not me. That, and I'll never say it is. And I'm as much a skeptic as a realist in this process. And it's a hard fence to straddle, because I get a lot of controversy from the HHO guys. I'm not a popular guy in this field, but I'm real and I'm honest. And anybody who wants to ask me a question, I'll tell them the truth, good or bad.
Well, I think that you've got something good, because number one, you're doing it with a smaller sized unit, with fewer plates, with less amp draw. You may not be producing high liters per minute, but you've proven that that's not essential to appreciate some gains in miles per gallon, which of course decreases tailpipe pollution at the same time. So I think you're on the right track, and you have a reasonably priced product, and you're finding that your unit does work on virtually all vehicles, or have you found some that it doesn't work on?
We've had one vehicle that stumped us, and we have not yet determined if it was a computer problem or a it wasn't a gas problem for one, but we actually went to a math on it just to make sure, and it wouldn't lean itself. It actually would reset itself automatically. So we feel it was a computer.
From hell.
Maybe. I honestly think that if we had the ability to reprogram the computers, that we could effectively, and without, you know, issues of performance and everything being still where they need to be, I think that with what we have now today, we could probably anomaly across the board to get 50 to 75% for all vehicles, and we're working on that currently. We're working with some power programmers on different cars. Usually you get those in the high-performance vehicles. We're working currently with the Corvette to see if we can get a gain with the power programmer. And then if that testing plays out to be a positive, then we'll address that on all cars, hopefully in the future.
Now, you say that you're between Toledo and Detroit, so you're right in the middle of the American automobile manufacturing base of operations.
Correct. It's been helpful, trust me.
Yeah, so you're drawing on some of the talent pool that's in that area, I'm sure.
A lot of talent. Yeah, it's crazy.
And a lot of them are out of work now, too, aren't they? True. But what about the possibility of introducing this technology on a new American-made car? Of course, Ron Motors in Texas is doing this. But what about one of the big three incorporating this type of boosting on their vehicle?
Doable. We've already designed a unit that would work and would incorporate into the computer and everything else. It's completely doable. But the problem is, and we know this from being in this area and having connections to the big three through various of our people, is that it takes 4 years from start to finish to get an OEM device on a car. And that's the problem. And you have to do that for liability issues alone. I'm hoping, and I don't want to put this out there too heavily, but I'm hoping that at some point I can get an audience with Roger Penske, who has just purchased Saturn. We think hopefully that maybe this can be a dealer add-on, and it will take someone like Penske, who just bought Saturn, to maybe make that happen. If not, you know, we're going to keep it American, to be honest with you. We've decided, we've had other offers, and we're going to keep it in the States, and we're going to hopefully play that card out as far as we can. But if not, new cars really aren't that important to us because the vast majority of cars on the road are out of warranty anyways. And that, and you know, we're looking for, you know, semis, fleet vehicles. You know, these are the ones that are consuming the majority of our gas. And these are the ones that we're trying to go after initially. I mean, we're trying to help everybody, but we're about lowering our fuel consumption, and that really comes down to fleet vehicles. And so in brand new cars, it would be great, but we're going to take what we can get and hopefully just, you know, little by little chip away.
Well, that's great. And every vehicle that installs one is going to be saving money and improving the air quality.
Exactly. And that's what it's about, definitely.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the placement of the unit, the physical placement of it under the hood is important because the system will not operate as good as it could if it is not placed, I guess you'd say, on a horizontal plane.
Setting it up is very important because you're working off of flow. We broke this down to the basic common denominator of gravity, resistance, flow, head pressure, hydraulic principles. The system needs to be set up as fluid as possible, basically. You have a generator, you have a bubbler tank. The bubbler tank creates a head pressure down. You have the bubble elevation theory. So the generator is upright. It's creating bubbles through electrolysis. Bubbles come up, and as the bubbles are rising, it's pulling water with it. It's creating a vacuum in the bottom. Water is coming back through. It's creating a cooling effect by the water. It's one big process that, if it's set up correctly, will, you know, blow your mind. And, like currently with Eric Krieg, he set his own. He's getting a little bit of a resistance in the bubbling. He's getting like an effect where he's getting bubbles and it's stopping. He's getting bubbles and it's stopping. And I addressed to him that one of his lines was probably below grade, which was creating a resistance, and it was having to, you know, push itself harder and suck a little harder on the water to get the water to flow. And he changed it, and just by changing it, he lowered his amps, increased his gas, so and upped his efficiency. So it's a lot of it is about placement of the unit, not so much where it's at, but how it's placed and how it's set up. If it's set up correctly, you can't lose. I stand behind the product, 3-year warranty, money back guarantee. We've done it enough times to know it just works, and we're excited about it. We hope that people will, you know, open their hearts to it and give it a try. And I'm gonna also put this out there that any, you know, church facility, any school facility, will present them at cost. Like I said, this is not about the money; it's about bettering the world. So we want that to be known too.
Wow. Well, it's been very refreshing, very encouraging to talk to you. And let's just mention your website and your email contact. The company name is, again, Hydrogen Assist
Development.
Development. Okay. And the website is?
www.safeho.com. SAFEHHO.
Okay.
And
if they want to send you an email?
Is hho@safeho.com.
Okay. Now, are you looking for distributors around the country, or are you?
We are looking for distributors, but I'll be very honest with you. When people come at us and they just want to throw us money, we get a little hesitant. We like our distributors to be a little prudent because we're in this for the long haul. And we are looking for distributors. We're looking for distributors all around the world. But I'll say it out in front of everybody that we are picking our distributors because we want to make sure that this gets put out in the public in the right way. One misstep, and you know, we could be the next Dennis Lee just by a fraudulent person in one area of the world. So we want to make sure that all our distributors are on the up and up.
Yeah.
It's not about the money. I'm telling you right now, I have people write me every day will throw money at me, and I'm not a rich man, and that tells you something. I'm holding back. I'm making sure that our choices are right all every step of the way.
Well, that's good. It's obvious that you folks have tested your product thoroughly before making an offering to the public. And you've won over a skeptic who just recently I received an email from Eric Krieg offering $1,000 if I could show him a vehicle that got a 50% improvement by a hydrogen booster. And
yeah,
it sounds to me like he owes you that $1,000.
He offered it to me. I turned it down. In initial testing, he offered me $1,000 just to show up and show him a system that worked. There wasn't even numbers involved. It was $2,000 for a 50%. And I don't want your money. I want your word that you'll tell people the truth. That was my first email to him. And I think since then he's taken it off the market because he's pretty well convinced that this is a real deal.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Well, you're in Kentucky, right?
Well, I'm actually in California now, but yeah, the museum was in Kentucky.
Do you have a hydrogen unit on your car?
I've been experimenting with a unit from Hydrogen Junkie. He donated a unit to me a few weeks ago, and so I've installed it on a couple of older V8 trucks. No electronics at all, just straight, you know, 1960s vehicles.
Right.
And so that's what I've been testing in recent weeks. But I'd be happy
I'll be more than happy to send a small and large unit out for you for your testing, and whatever the answers are, the results you get, publish them to the world freely.
Well, yeah, we could do a follow-up interview. I'd also like to interview Eric Krieg again because the interview that I did with him a couple months ago was basically a challenge by him to show something that works. Now that he's experienced that with your device, I think it would be good to have him on again.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic. Definitely. I will email him and encourage him to speak his mind freely.
Yeah, well, this is great. This is a turning point. And wouldn't it be nice to say that by the end of 2009, we had Eric Krieg, Popular Mechanics, and anyone else reversing their position
Bob Parks is correct. You familiar with Bob Parks?
I'm not sure.
He's a physics professor at University of Maryland, pretty much a scientist and a researcher. I don't think he teaches a class, actually. He's an author. And I actually he was on Dateline and been on Dateline before. I contacted him and asked him to test me also. I wanted his opinion. And actually, he kind of questioned me and asked me if I was making free energy. I think he was baiting me. And I told him I wasn't making free energy. And he asked me how we were making the car get more mileage. And I explained it to him, and halfway through my explanation, he just kind of flowed on with the explanation. He understood what I was saying. And he goes, okay, I'll meet you. I want to talk to Eric, and him and Eric are friends, and he wanted to kind of get an overview from what Eric had experienced. But he was receptive to meeting us and testing our unit, which I think is very exciting. Because that would be both critics on Dateline who refuted Dennis Lee are willing to test the unit, and if successful, tell the world it works. I think that's a big step.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's very encouraging. Well, let's do this again in the near future. I'm sure you'll have new developments to relate.
Sure.
And
we're in the process with Mid-America Motor Works out of Effingham, Illinois. We're actually in the developmental process right now of making a one-off unit for the C5, C6 Corvette, which, if everything works out right, will be for sale early spring. There's 300,000 cars over those six-year period from 2005 to 10, 50,000 cars a year that'll be eligible for the unit. And if it works out, we're going to make them for other units past, and it's going to introduce a one-off unit, everything enclosed in one, for all vehicles. So it's a big step that we're involved with them.
Wow. Yeah, it's very, very interesting to see what's happening. This field has been slow in coming over the past, well, it's been 91 years since Charles Fraser patented a hydrogen booster, Columbus, Ohio. But here we are now, and suddenly it's just mushrooming.
Yeah, and I just say if possible that I hope that anybody who's involved in this feels free to call me, feel free to contact me. I love to further the education, the knowledge that I have. There are some key secrets to our product that I'm not going to reveal, but if anybody's, you know, everybody has to move along at their pace, and I'm willing to help that with anybody out there because I believe in this. I was at that point at some point in my career, and I will help anybody out there and mentor anybody who needs information. And there's probably information I don't have all the answers. So if someone out there has something that I could use to better the product, bring it forward and let's make the world a better place.
Well, that's an excellent call. Appreciate that, the generosity of your stand there. Well, thank you so much, Sean, for joining me on the program, and we'll look forward to repeating this.
I appreciate taking time with me very much.
All right. Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.